That's right. Crickets with no chirp was avoided. Isn't that odd? We're actually listening for the crickets now because maybe one day we don't have the chirp. Is that what that's all about? I think so. So thank you very much for all everybody that stepped up to donate and get the host server paid for. Grimner reported that on Breaker's Ball. I appreciate all everybody who does whatever they can, even throughout the year. And remember, we're still in February, and this is a month of donation requests. So the big problem was, it caught us by, at least caught me by surprise, that we didn't have any donations for the middle of the month required payment for this voice to get out to y'all and anybody else that's on reallibertymedia.com. I want to especially thank Veronica, who came in a second time with another donation, a second one, and I think I understated her first donation, which was a $20 a month. I think it was a continuing payment. So everybody, thank you very much. On Minds, I don't know what the response was there. Thank you for at least clicking on the link and looking at it, and quite a bit more thumbs up there. A couple more reminds. I'm not sure of the efficacy of all that, but I just put the word out for whatever my little group of people that follow me were out there, and the Minds has a boosting fixture that goes out to their whole network. Anyway, the word is out, and we were able to cover the bills. I could tell Grimner was a little more relaxed, it seemed, on the Freaker's Ball, so I knew I was a little bit better positioned to this today to know that we're going to be here, and we'll be here for at least the servers will be here for another year, and we have whatever nature has for the rest of us as we keep moving along. This is BTWRLM357 for you Second Amendment fans, I suppose. It's a little bit big for me, but that's okay. 357. The fundathon is still on, folks, so those of you that can still contribute, please do whatever it is. A few dollars here and there is enough, again, as I went through some of the calculations last week on how this goes along. There's still hardware to pay for as it breaks, and last year I think computers went down, hard drives went down, have to be replaced, have to be increased, I think, even. So we keep the archives going for people, and that's, thank you for the help to do that for everybody else that is continues to tune in. And I did pick up a couple of points. I think it was in the Sound Minds YouTube. A couple of people had some, I guess, criticism, which is fine. And I have a couple responses. I don't know how adequate they're going to be. Again, I don't like doing a long-distance discussion, and I don't like engaging in argument too much. But there was stated that I may, the frustration, I suppose, that I don't clearly state some things. And to that, I've asked, if you have a suggestion, make it. I have an email. You can send me the suggestion at markonthebeast@protonmail.com. And the other thing is, give me a suggestion. I don't want to get into a dialogue about how much we all know. I'm not here to tell you how much I know. There's stuff I don't even tell you that I know. I'm going to touch a little boy. I'm just going to skip on a couple of things here in the first story, but I won't touch it until I can see we can move into it. But if you have a suggestion on how I would clarify something, send me the email. You can also, with the particulars on the hot chat, that if I can go back and see it, give me a short example in your chat. I can just read it right there. Again, it's not about how much we know. It's how I can better communicate what we need to know. That's another question. What is it that we need to know? I'm focused on action. And so I don't need to know more myself. I mean, there's lots of, it's not that I don't need to know. We need to know. What I'm saying is that I don't focus this behind the woodshed on lessons, on learning. I have to hand that over to you. You have to go find the information, and I found that's more important. You invest the time, first of all. Secondly, you see the black and white. It's not that you have to agree with me or not. You have to see the black and white, and then you have to put it into your scheme of events around your life. I've seen enough. I believe that as a path finder, a path presenter, if you need one, given you finally decide to do something. So I'm not here necessarily to educate people just for the sake of knowledge. I guess knowledge is not power. I keep saying that. I don't know if people appreciate this. We're going to have to do something. We have to do something right now. And if we didn't understand that, I keep referring to Thomas Jefferson saying that it was an educated, vigilant mass that keeps the republic. And that republic, I reduce it down to property law and the protection of it and the system that was established in a trust to do that. In other words, those people that are sitting in that government are not supposed to be your adversary ever. And yet we've seen that turn into it. That's the caucusocracy. So those of you that are frustrated that I don't clearly explain something, maybe send me how to make it a better, what it is you want me to explain, and then maybe your suggestion on how I can do that. But on the other hand, if you're that frustrated, and you can say better than I, you know, we just got a bunch of people come in and donate to a host server, the space on the network of which is open. And I'm sure Grimner will readily receive you into become a show of your own, and you can show us how to do it. And that's not a slight. If you have a way to communicate better what we need to do, I need to hear it myself. Get on a network, get on talk with Grimner, and set yourself up a broadcast, and do what you need to do. Don't complain about me. Don't wait on me. Don't wait for me to open the door. Don't even wait for me to find your path. I can help once you find one, but it's not for me. We're all doing our own thing. This is not something where, you know, we're a candle and then we get blown out. No, this is where we continue until the candle gets blown out. We don't do it. We have to continue to persist and persevere. That's if you believe in yourself. I mean, you're you have your own rights. If you really want to be free, you're not free of the oppression in the world. That's the prison we were born into. And that's not an excuse either. And for those of us that have been beat down and we've got wounds that we're trying to lick a little bit, and we found out the reality of this prison, we may have to take some time, as I was talking in the chat way later last week, we may have to recuperate a bit. But that's still, the oppression is still there. At some point, we're going to have to figure out the better way to move and take our experience and give it to people. So the frustration was I wasn't explaining certain things. That's a problem because I don't know what that certain thing is or those things are. And it may not have been where I wanted to go, and it may not be what I feel is important, that is important relative to what conveys the idea better. So, suggest not a live chat, because I may or may not get to that, in a recorded chat, your suggestions in short summaries, if you can, and otherwise, send me an email. And I've always asked this, I'll do my best. Otherwise, you have more information than I think I can get at myself anyway, and maybe you really need to talk with Grimner and start your own broadcast. And you'll see what it takes to do a broadcast. It's really not it's easy, but it's not that easy. When you get to the content and hitting it out every time you're up here, try to hit it out of the park for people. It's a little bit of it's quite a bit of work. That's why I said I couldn't go to a bigger network that wants me to go 5 days a week. I just can't do it. The workload is immense to do that. I could do it, but then I wouldn't do everything. I couldn't do anything else that I feel is more important than what we do, not just know, but what we do in the real world against the real foe, as invisible and transparent as it seems to be, and working out how you go against that foe. And that's not so obvious either. If I hope that you've been listening to me, you can hear the subtlety. I know it's difficult to maybe parse that out, but you can't get at this thing directly. It affects you directly, but you're not going to get at it directly, and yet you're going to be able to get direct. You're going to be able to find the most direct route if you go back to what the thing that's up against us violates, which is that law, that black and white I tell you about. How I really don't understand, if I haven't got any feedback on this, how simple a cause is written just by referencing an existing constitution, and the one I'm referencing here is the Virginia Constitution. Right in the first three to four of three sections, I think it is, it explains how you can literally go anywhere in any state. Do I see anybody doing that? Taking that form, applying it, filling in the blank, so to speak, and then applying it on every problem that we're seeing coming against our laws that we can see as a treason or a felony or a high crime or misdemeanor or the whatever the problem is. I don't see many people at all. No, I see everybody doing everything else. I see then anybody who tries to do it correct, like I find a ton of times, that you have to undo what was done wrong and then redo. This is current stuff. And then redo what should be done correctly to address the past infiltrations and setups that are already working against us. You may not appreciate what I've been saying all these years about uses this word human, and then in the United States Code, the law statutes itself, it determines that man is a pest animal. And you kind of maybe don't think about that because you're not looking forward and seeing what's coming on us. And I rarely ever get to this stuff, and I don't even know if maybe I'm not even feeling worthy of it. Maybe I don't go there that fast. I tend to want to know my stuff a little bit better, and I just haven't a chance to really nail it down. But the reflection of this is coming. It's already in the system. If you don't know how to address it, well, there's going to be a time we're coming that we may not be able to address it. It's certainly one-on-one. This is why it's going to take groups of organized people. And I already found in my own life a failure, a group of people who got together, who stated that we would work together. When the chips went down, there was no one available. That's a reality, folks. It's not my rule. That certainly caught me by surprise. And then I had to do what I could do when they tie you down and you can't do much of anything to respond inside that system. And then, again, they got the advantage. And this is not a fun thing to do. And a lot of people in the world over the last 20, 30 years have got into the situation of expecting the government to do right and found it was wrong, got into this thing and got themselves beat up. All of us have those experiences. And some got hurt a little bit harder than others. And some are paying for it right now. They're all in prison. They thought they had the idea what the world was supposed to be like and didn't really take account for what I keep telling you to take account of. And that's not even, that's what's just in our face. There's something that drives this whole thing. So without, again, just the bare bones of this, the bare surface reality of this, without getting any more dimensional or whatever, is we have to learn a certain amount of information which we then turn around and apply immediately because the oppression is on us now. The evidence of it is really everywhere. And I really didn't really think about going too much down this coronavirus, but today I'm going to talk, and not right now. I got a couple more things to get before I get there. What's coming to me to present is how we do this thing to ourselves, as I keep telling you we do. We all focus on the wrong things to try and prove out a scenario, to sensationalize a thing. We create this, this haystack of information, and we think it's knowledge. We confuse information for knowledge, and then we want to go ahead and promote all that, and we're still not finding that needle that can stick us that's sitting in that haystack. And that, again, this virus thing is just another example of how people do that. And to me, it's just showing us how failed we are as a people, that we need to learn these lessons because there's other things that are coming. It's actually, they're not other things, they're coming. These are the ongoing waves of destruction that we are being tested by. And we continually fail to respond correctly. At least is the way I see it, and because the problems continue, I think that's really the proof, whatever my opinion would be on that. So, again, the broadcast isn't to be explaining the nuts and bolts of the basic knowledge. I touch it, I'll show you basic things. Certainly, sometimes I tend to want to paraphrase certain things because it's just too tedious and long, takes a long time to explain the basis. I don't have the time to be the curriculum that way. When I go read the documents and see the fine lines and read for the methods, we're looking at the methods applied against us. We already need to have this knowledge, and we need to be using it. And again, the thing that keeps getting on me is the failure. Where there's a clear black and white path, people would make stuff up and go a different way. And what's worse, people who will agree with the made-up stuff and go a different way than what's actually more clearly defined. And I keep thinking about this sanctuary city thing. It's just to me, they're psyops. I just don't know what else to say. You got lots of people doing all this stuff around it, and they don't go direct. They give lip service to the power that the people have, all complaining that the people are powerless. And yet we're facing an example in the world right now, whether or not, whatever it ends up being, of the next iteration of how globally governments are understanding how they're going to, and how people are responding to the implementation of what I've identified, and I'm not the only one, as medical martial law. Probably the worst one you can do. We've already lived under the national security martial law from an external threat that they internalized. That was 9/11. They figured out that you didn't respond. Now they're going to start tweaking on the worst one of all. And this is where they're at today in 2020. I told you hindsight 2020, folks. We should have learned the first 20 years what was coming down. We didn't. And we better start turning into action against what's going on. We're not. And this is just, it's almost like writing on the wall in my mind. I don't know what more to say. For as optimistic as I would hope, you know, as I continue to try and be here, not for you, but for me, just to keep going, it's not looking real good. And not to harp again, but, you know, the getting close to having the network shut down and not having the ready response to come in and to keep it going without a question, It was a real, in a way, a wake-up call. I don't know if people appreciate that, but that's a real wake-up call of how close this thing is balancing for anyone who believes that they want a property for themselves and a place of peace, that there's a system that will protect you. The United States was supposed to be that place, and I can see all the savings clause for it, but there's nobody that will rely on, I'll say nobody that relies on them, maybe except for myself and those that know me, directly on a problem they have. I tell everyone the first time, let's go look over here and here and here and read for the savings provisions. That's the first thing I tell people. And then once they're oriented. So it's a thing. It's a problem that the other side has that they're going to ignore if you allow it. I can't tell you how critical it is to understand this. I guess the other thought is it requires property. It requires the protection of property, and it requires the recognition that, and the acquisition, and this is where the Virginia Constitution brings it up again. It's real clear that way, that when anybody interferes with these, they're coming against your way of life. And no matter how subtle or how covert, how benign they bring it, or how they sound like they're caring in how they bring it, on a cause that you think is okay, I'll throw out, you know, animal cruelty. Not that I want cruelty to animals, but when there's a law about it, did you look at what the support for that was? Did you really know where the source was? Maybe it's coming outside of your ability to have a say. And this is the problem. It's not about what this law, it's who's going to interpret that law. That's as administrative. In other words, you don't have property. And if you kind of overlook the idea that the people called humans is an animal, you're missing the step that we really have to get to that I don't feel comfortable getting to behind the woodshed at all until I can kind of look out and see lots of people understanding how to address the problem that's up against us. And so I got to move on here real quick. Otherwise, these tabs just keep building. Again, I'm not doing the things in the news in one regard, except for the needle part of this. And I'm going to get to the, not yet, the coronavirus thing. And to me, it's just an observational thing. But there's ways that we're missing certain points, I think, on a lot of this, on how, what we're looking for, what it's teaching us, and what we're supposed to learn in order to get ahead of this kind of an imposition. It's not a joke what they're bringing on 2020. As a next iteration of from national security martial law that was silent to every secret to everybody, they admitted in 2010. I pronounced in 2012. It went to crickets when no one responded, and we're still there. And now it's gone. And little they're cinching it down a little bit more. But how you're treated is came up in the news again. It's been always in the news, but today, for some reason, when I saw this or ran across it. It made a new importance relative to what I've been telling you about at this administrative imposition. That there's people that will decide for you. They will put you in a place where you have no rights at all. They will really be untouchable in the global sector, and that's anybody that has the power over you essentially, where you don't have a remedy. And this is where the numbers of people have to have the power of knowledge applied to work this thing through. But the example of what we're looking at going into the future and the people themselves that will be the crux of it, which I really don't touch too much on yet, was in this story right here. The gruesome details emerge of Israel's torture of Palestinian prisoners. And I've told you I don't like the use of that word Israel. These are Israelis. And I've gone through that discussion a couple times. And the more I look at this, now that I've been looking a little bit closer, the more important the distinctions are, because that's how you do it. The terminology gets changed. The terminology gets commingled. We're doing a commingling right now. The state is attempting through its agencies to put manufacturing underneath commerce within an urban growth boundary. Now, I just said a few words. Maybe you understand this. Maybe you don't. But the fact that they did that, they commingle commerce or consumerism with manufacturing is a violation, because manufacturing is not in urban tertiary economies. It's in production. And so what they're attempting to do is extend the urban authority, the academic authority, the agenda authorities into the rural spaces by attaching something that they don't have actual jurisdiction over to be within their jurisdiction. And if you don't start to see how this works, you don't realize how the encroachment happens, how these words are given to us as the notice that we just think it's this story in this news, and you think, well, what can I do about it? And I'm suggesting to you that if you look carefully, it's a mirror of what's actually already been happening, even though it doesn't look like it. No, you don't think the Detroitification of America looked like the bombing out of a Syrian town. And yet look at the economic and living devastation that it did. It was identical. And this is the kind of thing I tend to observe. I don't know about other people. What am I going to do about Detroit? Nothing, but I can watch how they did that and how it's rolled out across this nation and the dynamic and how to interfere with that. And it starts to bring a different awareness. And then you can't know what you're going to do until you start to see what that inner awareness is and where you're going to drop in to try to stop it. The gruesome details emerge of Israelis torture Palestinian prisoners. You go, okay, you roll your eyes back. Well, what was interesting about this? I mean, this is abhorrent. This is like the untouchable chosen, isn't it? They can do this to people, and no one stops these people. There would be no, I don't know of any place that we haven't heard the argument that if anybody else did this, that it would be stopped. The UN maybe would step in and stop it with the help of the United States to do their political overthrow, right? There's continuing nonsense in this world. But I noticed this little discussion. I've heard it before, but it just struck me a little different this time, because this relayed to the core, to me it relates over to the coronavirus, what's happening in the reality of what the government, how it responds, what it's willing, what the psychopaths are willing to do underneath these excuses, and our need to find that excuse and call it out for those felonies so that it doesn't have an authority. The latest cases involve three Palestinian men who were detained as part of an extensive manhunt that followed August 23rd bombing that killed an Israeli settler and teenager, Rina Schnurb. The three men living in the occupied West Bank were detained per Israel's controversial practice of administrative detention. And there's where I kicked in. Administrative detention. Though I haven't applied it before, today I want to apply it, because this is the plan. This is the model. This is what the UN does. It's an adjunct policy over the top of a veneer, over the top of your existing laws. That it's laws are already built into your laws today that make provisions for the implementation of this, save for the clauses that reserve the prior rights. And if you don't go through that little mouse hole, if you will, which turns out to be it's a hole against their fortifications. It's as big as you want to make it, actually. You miss the point, and you aren't thinking correctly about how to stop this thing in the future. That's going to get a whole lot worse. The administrative detention. This is the problem. Nobody stops this in the world. There's no right for it. They haven't. We've gone through it before. They haven't decided actually. Who has the right to the land over there, even though it's clearly not into a political regime that's over the top, that they do this to people. They treat these people like animals, and no one, in an under administrative, no less, detention. And no one blinks about how this is or how they're being affected administratively in their lands, which follow a very similar pattern. For those of you that may say I'm not explaining things, I'm not here to explain this whole. I've been talking about it for over 10 years. You have to go read what I say, read, go understand the things I say to understand. Bring that then with you when you start thinking about what I'm telling you, whether or not that's telling you more than what you could think of on the nuts and bolts. But getting back to this, the administrative detention is no law. And so this is no different than any administrative imposition anywhere else. And that's why you see this started to be refolded in way back in the United States, way back in at the 40s and the administrative, what they call the fourth branch of government. It's what I talk about, how you defeat and how you position yourself relative to the relationships on how you defeat it. Because if you can't defeat this, if you don't know what to say and you think your rights are something, you forget under administrative holds, you have no rights. And you have no right of determination over that as far as you aren't the interpreter. And this is why this struck me so much, because underwriting this, even though it's someplace else relative to the United States, we have a power in the United States in the District of Washington, a district, not a state, where the powers, the psychopaths that be, support this kind of stuff. If they support it there, they support it here. I don't need to say more about the murder memo, actually. They threw out international law. Usurper, a trespasser in the world, can do this kind of thing to people. They treat people as animals. Your United States Code treats you as an animal, whether that you go to Title 27 or 7, and whether you not go over to Title 50, you can start seeing the veracity of everything I've been saying. That the cruelties and gruesomeness of what's going on here kind of just passes through the memory hole. No one looks at it that the torture is so extreme that you say, well, I don't see that around me. It doesn't affect me. It's just not going on here. They talk about in secret the Shin Bet investigations and the intelligence services doing all this. If you don't think that the agencies in the United States are intelligence services, you've missed that point. If you don't think that they don't go by law in the first instance, you've missed that point, and that you're being treated however gruesomely that you wherever you set your bar. Violence against the secured law, to me, is as gruesome as you get, because then that lets the other things in. That this little administrative detainment, which is every one of you that ever talked to a cop on the street, was under administrative investigation. You don't think this is already working, just because your ribs weren't broken or you're not bleeding from every orifice or whatever. You don't think that's here. This is the same thing as they incrementally bring this on. What my problem with all this is things I don't talk about, because if I can't get people to understand how to deal with the so-called administrative things, it's going to get a lot worse. That I can't, and I don't know, again, I haven't done a deep study. I do the surface study, and it's plenty for me to know we better pick the objective basis, and we better hold on for our dear life as. Because what's coming in, this adjunct policy that comes in, that gets thrown in under a benign thing. Remember, climate change and carbon taxation, a punitive harm against everyone in a so-called first-class country, is the benefit to something else determined by somebody else, is the same administrative detention that a Palestinian suffers with no remedy. This is why I say it's the carnival mirror. You don't recognize it's the same thing already going on in the United States. Certainly, we're not, well, I don't know. Do you have broken bones in people? Do you have people being shot dead right in the street anymore? I've been talking about it. I don't know, see people get upset about it, or they get, rah, we got to stop it. But no, nothing happens. They come to steal your guns. Is coronavirus going to invoke the Second Amendment? And if not, they still got you under martial law, don't they? So it doesn't really matter, but I want to just touch base and move, because it's a way deeper subject. The administrative detention, with no response, a foreign occupier having you interpreted through their rule is this UN agenda, it is the sustainability, whether you see this or not, it is these benign, what appears to be benign laws that allow an expansion from moral living, because it actually comes from a source. There's a source for why there's an objection to certain things. And touching briefly, just to name them, is the Noahide law, the seven laws, and which is absolutely congruent with the Sharia law. And so this is another division-making thing in the people of the United States and around the world, that if you look at the sourcing of what's complying, what makes the compliance factor, it's this condition that a foreigner imposes a foreign law at their determination. That is a law they've said you are restricted to, but they are not. You know, this is just the model. And this didn't originate out of the UN. It's just the UN is another one of those mechanisms of application. And so I've touched very lightly. I don't want to get buried in that. People go freaked out on all that stuff. But it doesn't really matter. I don't care about the name I put on this. There's a method of what's coming on us in the future. We better get that understood really clear. And we are having a time to practice how to have that avoidance for us. Will be your consent or you're not. And so we can have our divisions. We can do our isms and our ists. This thing is coming on anyway. I touched all this stuff, actually, without getting into all the dynamic of it that gets us into division. When I talked about the carbon, the sustainability that the Pope jumped on, that we saw also the agreements happening between the Vatican and the rabbis and the other things that came down through at that time. This was that awakening where then there was also the unification with the Arab Islam and Muslims to church, the ecumenism that's going on, the unity that can't actually happen and everyone agrees and evangelizes about. As far as America, the United States of America, or anybody who like this, and this would maybe even extend to all the crown holdings as well, you're looking at an invisible thing coming on you that you don't recognize yet. If you don't, with this time, if you don't understand how to address the things I'm talking about, we're not going to be able to address this stuff coming on. It's institutionalized before you got there. As I keep telling you about the sustainable development, the seeds of the foundation were set back in 1980s. Did I know that in going 1990s and 2000? No. Well, 2000, that's when I started to figure it out. And I looked back, and then the mining law allowed me to look and focus again. Focus like a laser, or focus more, not a laser, that's coherency, but like a magnifying glass on certain things, and I get to see exactly the sourcing of certain things, and up pops these dates we had lived through and didn't recognize. It came transparent to us, the foundation being laid for destruction today. This is the model that I talk about, that unless you go and read what I read and take the initiative to go track down, we're going to miss big time. And I can't teach you this stuff. You have to see and understand this stuff yourself. Again, the initiative taken by the donors to the broadcast for the donations, I can't appreciate you enough just because of the initiative. This is what shocked me in the first week. We had no initiative. You know, it's like a firefighter. To fight a fire, I don't need someone telling me, go help fight the fire. I've told you this before. There's just something in me. I grab a bucket, grab a weed whacker and a shovel, folks. That was as rudimentary as I had to do one time. I don't know what it is, but this is the kind of instigation of our own initiative that we have to have ready to go at all times. Why? Because we have a farther, more comprehensive view. We're not looking at our complaints for today. We're looking at why the complaints exist, what source they're actually coming from, and learning the tactics in order to either keep it off of us as much as possible, and if we have to go, if you will, hand to hand, we know the actions to take. We have the mind and muscle memory to do the things it takes because we've been practicing before we got there. It's simple now. I keep telling you, it's simple now to send a comment. Just send a comment. Understand what this dynamic is. Start to understand what you're up against. What's coming institutionalized in the future is so much more devastating. And I guess that's what I keep focusing on. I'm not focused on this news, on this notice, on the problem at hand. I'm focused on there's people in the world bringing up a thing, and they figured out how to do that, and everybody seems clueless to that. And yet it's right there for the most part, I can tell for the most part, to see. I explain it. I have to explain it through example of you doing something, though, not just that it's not something, a curriculum I can teach. Yes, I can go to their documents. I've done that, but I don't see any reflection. So, okay, I just look at that as saying, well, when you didn't understand that the Bar Association, in their own documents, is a professional union system-wide globally that promotes sustainable development, and your laws in your country require that a protection of property, if you don't see a problem in that, and I've just read you the black and white, and you didn't come back to me or even start your own cause about how you're going to interfere with that treason, I don't know what more to say. That's just the surface. That's just the institutionalized condition within the government to point to. Today, with this kind of this gruesome torture of prisoners, reminding us it's administrative detention. You have no rights. You have no property. You have no power of interpretation. Remember, we see that in deference given to the agencies of the United States. It's the same model. And what do I talk about? Defeating that. How? You make a record ahead of time, and hopefully you have a whole bunch of people to watch it. But we don't have quite that right now. We have some, but not nearly enough, and it's going to get a lot worse. So this is what kind of weighed on me a bit. The story, I wasn't even going to talk about it because there's like so many stories. But when I saw it somehow, when I looked down administrative detention, it just flashed in my mind, this is our life right now. People are not able to defend themselves against even this. And when the core laws that you're limited to, which are already seated inside, let's say, the United States laws, I can find, I told you, Title 7, 21, and Title 50 is in there for this, reflecting these seven laws that are going to be internationalized if they're not already. And it's going to be filtered through an interpretation outside of you, just like you see the agencies do in the United States now. There's going to be no systemic change in how that comes down. You see the error in that periodically with property rights being shown that they still have a power, but you see, as I tell you, the Bar Association member did it wrong and really agreed to the agency authority. I tell you that about how that works all the time, and you're not actually getting your rights is still the continuation of that condition. Is still us as a people not being knowledgeable and then being vigilant and persistent against every little encroachment on those basic principles. Principles which inspired the idea of coming behind the woodshed. Not me to you, but you to whomever is your oppressor. The one in the subservient child, actual childlike position. The one that seems to come by a color of authority. The one that actually shows more initiative than you yourself to protect yourself. Which is, I was referencing last week in that speaking to a child, if you're not going to know enough to advance your own cause, we're in trouble here. And I'm talking just in generalities. If anybody took special umbrage to that, you get yourself out the way, please. I'm not talking to any one of you, actually. In fact, I don't know what more to say. It's not about even what we're... This thing is so bizarre, in a way. I don't even know that I can describe it, except that you see it. It's that stinking abyss you track down on your own that we end up finding ourselves standing next to each other, looking in. And we know what we know, but it's hard to describe. You just call it the stinking abyss. The caucusocracy is at the bottom. The caucusocracy rules the world. The caucusocracy has a model and a method, and it defeats everybody. And yet, there's no reason for it. And there's no outcome for it either, actually. And that's the other thing. You end up being the the wise experience and foundation, actually, when you show the ultimate future yourself, that there's no place for this. And so, I'll stop there. So, to talk about your animal nature that's already in the law, we kind of miss all these details. Another disgusting thing pops up. The torture and this and that that pops up. The ability of the system to assimilate for various reasons. You can call it for profit, for caucusocracy, for control, for whatever. It's still the violation, just generally. The this next story kind of goes along with this torture, control, administrative decisions. When I read, Judicial Watch obtains records detailing NIH purchases of aborted fetal parts for humanized mice testing. And so if we thought Roe versus Wade had to do, again, with the right, the woman's rights, see, this is the feminists want to give a woman more power because I guess they forgot that they had the power to begin with before the government. No, they talk inside and within agency authorities. But we see the control, future controls within the government of humanized mice. I told you a year ago or so, maybe 2 years ago, when the so-called ethics, that's a fun name, fun word. This ethics is also what's applied to the laws we talked about before, these laws that will be implemented by a foreigner to their deference. This is that type of a thing here, that humanized mice want the ethics of looking at whether or not you should do that because it would be good for the people, humans. The wraps are off, and you better start getting your mind rewired quick on how this is really coming down. Judicial Watch announced it's received 676 pages of records from the National Institute of Health, this is the United States now, showing that the agencies paid thousands of dollars to California-based firm to purchase organs from aborted human fetuses to create humanized mice for HIV research. Now, HIV has a whole other global problem attached to it, but this is the consistency with which they continue to use, and the HIV is just an agreement of a continuing lifestyle, which is also agreed to by your oppressors that you don't know, and this is on and on and on. And so I don't get any response about people looking on into all this stuff to even keep track. I figure it's going in one ear, out the other. Yeah, it abides in you. That's why you're frustrated. But I'm talking about just grabbing onto one of these freight trains coming by and jumping on and seeing if you can derail it or maybe work easier, figure out that it's coming before it gets to you. And maybe we'll do something with the train tracks and then it can't pass. That's all up to what interest. But here we have the government is buying fetal tissue. The industry of abortion has nothing to do with a woman's right, but that's how they sold it. We're gullible to believe it. But they treat you humanized mice, the animal inference, which I tell you, I think it's Title 7, Title 21, would you go find it some more? The pest animal? Read very carefully. The man is a pest animal to all these other organisms. Then you wonder about, you look at something like the Biodiversity Part Treaty of the Convention, Biodiversity Convention in the 1992 thing that happened, and you see genetic modification built right into that in 1992, folks, if you didn't think that this thing's been long-winded, that humanized mice, the benign for HIV research, is just the cover for dehumanizing everybody, for treating you like a Palestinian without protection in your own land, folks. I can tell you, there's so much to talk about. I certainly forget to tell you, but maybe that's part of your frustration listening. There's so many other things I could talk about, but I'd be here talking about it. And my mind's not wired to go try and cover the entirety of a subject matter, to name all the things that there are to name. We just have to understand some of this. I want to get through ideas because we have a thing to do for those of us that can engage, for those of us that take that initiative. And so 70% of the pure human blood ready for transfusion found to contain Xanax. Really didn't start to do a medical thing this week, but this is how this all pulled up. This is I'm going to call it the psychopathic predilections for you. This is what systems do when their focus is not really on the health, safety, welfare, and morals of you, and it's more on what the commerce side wants. And this is what the political jurisdiction of the United States, and really every government, is really about. And so we got to take cognizance of that. And this is why the importance, like I said, go back to the Virginia, the posterity. You're pre-existing the government. That's a powerful place to start to drive the wedge of the, making sure the chasm stays, it doesn't get filled up with the refuse of commerce and consumerism. That's a beautiful, quick way to get at the point when you use the word posterity and you realize it's creating a government that has no right to come and encroach on the inherent right. And yet, I've seen over decades now, decades and decades, how we allow this adjunct nonsense to come on us that subverts underneath benign or even nice-looking things to help us, and it doesn't. Our medical provisions in this country, 70% of pure human blood ready for transfusion found to contain Xanax. If I looked at that and I just had none other thought in my brain, and I don't remember now which religion it is, was it Jehovah's Witnesses say don't take a transfusion? They just check for Xanax. What else is in there? Do you want this kind of stuff in your blood? You want someone else's fetal tissue from their vaccines in your blood? It made a good sense to me. Forget the religious connection. Maybe we don't want these transfusions. Maybe they realized they had a real problem. That's why they went to, what, plasma? You don't get the whole blood unless you absolutely need it. And then what that's on? That's another style of risk, isn't it? It's all risk management. They put you up against death and they say, here's the answer. Okay, so it's going to half kill you over more time, but at least you're alive, correct? So, just like it's in your, we've heard it's in your water, these pharmaceuticals in your water, traces of Xanax, 70%. Amazing. Again, pollution, the Water Clean Water Act, it allows a pollution of so much, and we've allowed that. We've allowed the attack on us, and here's another report here for a book, somebody who's writing about this. You think that we're just figuring this out now? Now, I've heard about these stories before. I've told you a little bit about them. In fact, one of the listeners is tracking back to see what can be found out from some information relative to the government's willingness to attack you underneath the auspices of saving you. Remember, that's another thing in the context or where we start over these, where your principle, your actual fundamental organic principles. We talked last week about whether or not you're within the context of certain jurisdictions, certain jurisdictions of man or the jurisdictions of the Creator, you can only apply certain things in certain ways. And within man's law, they've allowed a lot of abuse and torture without notice to you. And I found some of that in the code. And it's now shaped how I think. Not how I think, I do that a different way. I mean, what I think on and apply as potentials and possibilities, but The Age of Treason, a 1958 book, exposes chemical attack on humanity. Was written by Swinburne Clymer, who was in many ways a man ahead of his time and most certainly controversial. He was attacked by the medical establishment for connecting diet and disease and mental health by his 1917 book, Dietetics. Dr. Clymer received his medical degree in 1902 from the College of Medicine and Surgery in Chicago and practicing osteopathy. Accusations of fraud surround Dr. Clymer's career and issued by the Journal of American Medical Association. So we can read this story. I want to point out we've been warned long before long before lots of people here, right at the time maybe they were being born, right after there was a thing afoot way back in 1900s, where governments were willing to do harm to you. This is not a question. Why this continues to be a question, why this isn't used as an example of an evidence put before an administrative detention relative to your being free from an oppression, another rights of association problem in a Bill of Rights that you're supposed to assert, I don't know. This is not even new knowledge, just more evidence. To me, in fact, I tried to read the book before I made a comment on it. I've only got through a few 50, 60 pages, whatever it is. I just don't have the time to focus on this. To me, again, it's not really what it says. That it says it is more important as evidence, because a book is evidence. And you can throw this up, not throw it up, excuse me. You can bring this forward as evidence and show within the view, even the statements that were made in the foreword and all that, show a a method of implementation that you can see is happening by the agencies themselves. That just that part could be brought forward to say, this guy saw it back in 1958. Now you're doing it. But you don't have the right to do that unless you. In this case, think about it very carefully. You don't have a right to do a medical experiment unless you do what? Declare it's for national security. And be careful about being protected and secure. There's a principle that says when someone comes to tell you they're going to do something for your security, that's also an abomination. That's the deception. You know them when you see them, folks. So this thing about the Xanax and the humanized mice, the genetic engineering, this one's talking about chemical attack on humanity. And look at what's happened since then. Is it evidence of what I keep telling you, that you bring as an evidence, not your opinion, to do something to try and make the notice to other people, the prairie dog idea, you're going to warn the prairie of the prairie dogs, they can all run in the hole, I guess, or they can all bring out their .357 and take out the oppressor that's coming to take one of them. You like how I did that, folks? I thought it was pretty cool. BTW RLM 357. And so, this is not new news to us. What we're not doing is not applying it as evidence of a pre-existing plan of attack against every one of us, globally, essentially now, that was written about, it was vilified at the time, and proves out over time to be the fact that you attach to anything going on and saying this that is going on against us was predicted, notwithstanding the vilification, to be the harm and the weapon against us. That the answer is somewhere else. The answer, if you will, is in abstinence of these regulated, licensed things. Before that, because government was established by those men and women making that statement, what's your power and authority to even have a response? While we do this now for administrative detention and our right of interfering with our right of association, if I tie it together that way, that's the simple one. What happens when they get you involved, like what we're seeing in this medical martial law? You're isolated individually. In fact, they're using that as a tool to isolate you and pull you out individually under the color of this. How are you going to respond there? Well, we may have a little bit of example. Someone's responding before they can't in a video here way up front as I move this along. Start to think about what I'm saying about getting in your mind, not just that you have a complaint and things are wrong. What are you doing actively to obstruct its ability to get more controlling on you today? And that helps in the future for the rest that are coming. But in 1958, the age of treason, exposed of a chemical attack. Do we know what's going on over in Wuhan? I said the pollution is sitting there all the time. That's a respiratory problem they already know about. And then we hear more things coming about that. And so I've said, look at the reality. Don't get involved in all this hype. Be careful. Again, the stalking horse, right? I mean, this is all the same stuff. I don't have to use any new terminology. I just forget to tell you about it, how it's all the same. And that may be a frustration to people. This doesn't go too far away. There's not much to explain. If you haven't gotten what I'm saying and you're frustrated, maybe you're not really listening that close to what is I'm suggesting really needs to be understood better, the rest of which is a support for why you might be there or what you understand, but it's not what you need to know to stop this stuff. What you need to know to stop it is you need to know you have to engage. And I've said, focus on one thing, one wrong you want to make right, and things start coming to you. Focusing is a good clarity. So we got Xanax in our blood and all these, whatever our chemical. We got it in our water, the Clean Water Act. Oh, we can pollute water so much. All this nonsense, we're going to be under it. We were told in 1958, someone from 1900 said, early 1900s, said we'd be under chemical attack. We're now knowing that people that are vilified like this are typically the witnesses, if you will, of what's there. Do we want to embrace that? I'm saying take this as a evidence, literally a piece of evidence, of the model to come and the fulfillment of it in the thing you're fighting and saying, here, this is being executed now. I'm here to tell you to stop it. Who am I? Well, I'm the posterity. And you're coming under collar of an authority to do well for me, which is security for me, which is a lie. Because if you really intended to do it, this guy here said so. You're doing the adverse, you're doing exactly what he said you did to harm me as a treason. So now what have we done? I'm telling you how you take away the authority. You make a record. You hope the educated masses are around you to support that. Not just that you have a sign to put out or you got to go intimidate a legislature somewhere. The record's made as you go relative to all these things we do know. All the knowledge you have is applied in a certain way. So then I ran across this little thing. It was interesting. This is one of the things that I would take and I do take. Use as an herbal reference. Why do we have Xanax in our bloodstream? Well, it's not going to be that I know in my bloodstream. Why? Well, because all these sicknesses we get, I try to stay away from the chemicals. I try to, as best possible, keep that away. I try to keep the biologicals away and extension or do things to protect myself to some extent. Nothing's perfect. But I pretty much come every week. I either can deal with whatever I get during the week, for the most part, but I come here on the weekend, I can. I try to be here. Even that's even a potential problem. Always. The outbreak of SARS warrants a search of antiviral compounds to treat the disease. At present, no specific treatment has been identified for SARS-associated coronavirus infection. We assess the antiviral potential of ribavirin, 6-azurindine, pyrazofarin, mycophenolic acid, and glycyrrhizin. Some of you, when I said glycyrrhizin or whatever, if I got that pronunciation right, glycyrrhizin. Hope your herbalist tripped on that, because this is important to that. Against two clinical isolates of coronavirus, FFM1 and FFM2. Oh, there's more than one coronavirus. Oh, isn't that interesting, right? Here, folks, for patients, you think it's the COVID-19. Remember, if you look there carefully, they dropped an R out to make the word corvid, which is birds, like ravens and crows, and they're thinking bird flu, and they just didn't want to make it obvious. They dropped the R when they renamed it. So now it wasn't even the old thing. Remember this, you got to take stock in the renaming of something also, because it wasn't before. But there's more than one coronavirus. And they create these severe respiratory syndromes. And so FFM1, FFM2, FFM1, FFM2 for patients with SARS admitted in the clinic center of Frankfurt University of Germany. Of all the compounds, glycyrrhizin was the most active inhibiting replication of SARS-associated virus. Our findings suggest that glycyrrhizin should be assessed for treatment of SARS. Let's get to the point. What is that? What's that? Where is that compound in a plant? And you may be liking this one, because most people like this. It's easy to take. It's in licorice. So licorice root tea would have the effect, at least this study says it needs more study. I've been using it for years. When I come down with what I think is maybe a little virus, I get right to it. I'll take a little bit of tea here, do some other things. It becomes part of my repertoire to hopefully outdistance something that may be worse or killer. Is it guaranteed? I think everyone's different, so you're going to have your own system. You have to do your own analysis. Do I need whatever Xanax did? No, I just go find this alternative, but we start to study. And we start to find out nature provides a lot of things for us. It doesn't provide everything. I've told you, I'm here because of antibiotics. No, not penicillin. There had to be something, it had to be an actual, a worse one back when I was about dead. And a blood sepsis is about killed me. It took 2.5 weeks. It didn't kill me. I told you this. The doctor's looking at me, says, I'm looking at a dead man. You're supposed to be dead 2.5 weeks ago. Most people die within 4 days of the thing I had. But I knew I was going to die. That's why I was sitting in front of a doctor. You don't get me before a doctor, right? But I knew. There was a voice that came and said, you're not making this one. This one's bigger than you. after 2.5 weeks. What made my body grow strong, I don't know, but I've been like this for many years about looking at alternatives, looking at nature, and helping myself out. Each one of us has that responsibility. I mean, we come into this world by ourselves, we leave in this world by ourselves. In between, we can help each other out. So I come into the broadcast. Do we need to have these pharmaceuticals? In lots of times, no. Do we need them at all? In lots of times, no. Not if your health is up. So if you focus some time on that, we don't become a victim tortured by this system that's given license to come in, whether or not it's an occupier in our life or foreign or domestic, to take us down. We don't bring ourselves in a place susceptible to these psychopathic predilections that affect us. So I guess I stop. If we all did that, I think we wouldn't have to have much of a problem. Our complaints become different. Our complaints aren't one of complaint. Our complaints are one of remedy. And we would then move for the action. I don't know, every time I say that now, I'm thinking about Virginia. How wrong it's going down the track and how right it could be going, and how many people would see how this works. It's just, it's not just Virginia because I see it lots of play, but that's the one that I think is making the news potential. But here we have licorice. It's the best of the things that they used that you can start looking for yourself. For what? Coronavirus. And then we have this other side story before I get to all that. A rapid identification of measles virus vaccine genotype by real-time PCR. A very interesting little statement in here. Well, how do you identify these viruses? I'm looking at a title here. It kind of struck me a little bit. Rapid identification of measles virus vaccine genotype by real time. You mean they didn't have it before? Well, it's not just even that. It says here in the abstract, during measles outbreaks, it's important to be able to rapidly distinguish between measles cases and vaccine reactions to avoid unnecessary outbreak response measures such as case isolation and contact investigations. We have developed a real-time reverse transcription, PCR, method specific to genotype A measles virus, MEV, qualitative PCR that can identify measles vaccine strains rapidly in high throughput and without the need for sequencing to determine the genotype. We have evaluated the method of independently in 3 measles reference laboratories using the platform. The new assay was able to detect RNA, and then interesting to go into a vaccine about this, RNA for the 5 currently used vaccines, and they name them 5 currently used vaccine strains. An assay has been used successfully for measles surveillance in reference laboratories. It could be readily deployed to national and subnational laboratories in wide scale. What's the point? The point is that they want to be able to distinguish what they do to you versus what they haven't done to you, and so they can then form their medical notices that they can know once they prove that they're in one of the 5 vaccines, they don't have to report you as a response. When they find they did it to you through the vaccine, those numbers will come off the table. You'll go to the hospital and they'll recognize, oh, that's one of ours. You're out of here. Go back. It doesn't matter that your immune system's been destroyed or degraded. It doesn't matter that you're going to shed because they made it. If they don't find it in you and they find the symptoms, they'll put on you that it's a wild one. Isn't there a song, Grimner, about that? Wild one? And so here was an interesting thing. They're developing a test they didn't know before. How were they knowing all this stuff before? They don't. They're making it up. But now they're going to identify the novel ones they do. They have tests for the novel ones. Once they identify it, like I said, you're out. Once they identify you're in compliance, you get to pass. Those that don't, you're going to see some trouble. And if you don't listen behind the woodshed to turn the tables on that and explain, as I've been trying to show you, at least give a list yourself of some protections against that assertion, you're going to be suffering what the Palestinians are, or the Chinese, as we see under medical martial law. So they didn't even have a test. They now have a test for what the novel ones are. I found that fascinating. When you see how they're going to work this They don't care. They just want, again, well, who did we pollute? And if we didn't pollute you, then you're going to be subject to us making sure that you get polluted. Because that's a protection and a security to you by our health power. And so what is, again, we go moving on, what do these things do to us? It's coming out slowly, the novel coronavirus and infertility. And again, moving these things through, there's just information that pops out at certain times when I'm looking at it, thinking, well, there's stories that have popped up. How is all this interrelating? We're looking for that needle. What is this thing that, if it becomes anything, that we are going to have to protect against? What are the policies being created around these things that are being used that are okay on one hand? We can test for them. Once you pass the test that you complied with our demands for vaccine, we're just going to whisk you out into the world so you can infect others with your diminished response now to the world and your ability to get it sooner next time. Because remember, the wild measles give you a lifelong immunity, if I think I remember that right, and the ones that come from the vaccines do not. But now we have an effect. December 2019, January 2020, novel coronavirus infected pneumonia occurred in Wuhan and has already posed a serious threat to the public. Has been shown to be one of the major receptors of the mediate the entry of angiotensin converting enzyme 2 has been shown to be one of the major receptors that mediate the entry of the 2019 nCoV into human cells, which always happens in severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus. There is no distinction here at this level anymore, even though they make one. Several researchers have indicated that some patients have abnormal renal function and even kidney damage, in addition to injury in respiratory system, and the related mechanism is unknown. This arouses our interest in whether coronavirus will affect urinary and male reproductive systems, and they go through and they find out that it does interfere. Now, why haven't they seen this before is an interest to me. This starts again to bring us up, what is this thing? Is it been created? There's lots of evidence that says that it was, but here's the cover that looks like they did it for what? A vaccine. The same vaccines that once they get the markers, you're okay, they send you back out in the public to get that infection. Well, that story about the urinary tract position interference came up important because days before, there was a story that hit from a Twitter account that I've been watching. I can't prove some of this stuff. They don't produce the original source, so I have to kind of go with a little bit of a grain of salt on this, but it's indicative of things. That Ling's dad, 70, ended his life by jumping off from a balcony. He was suffering from severe uremia, but quarantined at home as a suspected case, unable to do diagnosis at the time. He couldn't eat for 7 days. He says, "I don't want to trouble you," he told the poster's mom before he died. I looked at that initially before this previous report, and I said, well, this is where they hide other things. This is where you become, because you have flu symptoms, which would be the fever and the perspiration, whatever, cough, whatever, you're feeling bad, your aches and pains, but they put him in underneath this suspected case. I initially thought that was how they cover up what they're doing for other cases, and that there's people that don't have the flu that aren't going to get the care they need. Until I saw that prior story that this coronavirus will give males urinary tract problems. Forget the fertility side. Well, maybe unless the guy's 70's got a family coming, but the urinary tract problems. This anticipated that finding, that this gentleman was considered a suspected case, which means the government knew that was a complication. And this started a whole different type of track in my mind of, like, who done it and who's doing it? What is this thing? How planned is it? And really my thought was, what governments will do to you. And that it becomes very important to pay attention, at least, and don't get yourself in a place that you're subject to this. But here's what came up also, when this came up lately, relative to, we are not told certain things, that if it wasn't for the internet, we wouldn't have some of this information, and I didn't know this, but in mandatory vaccine laws and tracking took effect in China on December 21st in 2019. Could this have something to do with the coronavirus? And a link was given. And this link got me over to the original posting on an LOC.gov website that stated the National People's Congress Standing Committee of the People's Republic of China, the PRC, or China, adopted a PRC law on vaccine administration, vaccine law. The official Xinhua news agency states that the law provides the strictest vaccine management with tough penalties in order to ensure the country's vaccine safety. Remember, we're told don't accept what's done for your protection and safety. That's a, if you will, a blasphemy. Given to the, where we're going with all this, that's what this ends up speaking to. They're already implementing. They go on to say here, the new law provides for regulatory requirements for researching, producing, distributing, and using vaccines. Such requirements, according to one legal commentator, are much more stringent than those for other drugs. At Article 2, it also contains a chapter specifying penalties for violating the vaccine law, which are also stricter than those for violating other drug laws, Chapter 10 in the law. According to the law, if the violation of this law constitutes a crime, a heavier punishment within the range of punishments provided by the criminal law on the relevant crimes is to be imposed. And the law mandates that the launching of the National Vaccine Electronic Tracking Platform that integrates tracking information throughout the whole process of vaccine production, distribution, and use, that's to you folks, to ensure all vaccine products can be tracked and verified. Went into place on December 21st. They actually went into place on December 1st. On December 2nd, we're getting our first reports, though they weren't publicly noticed. When I heard it, I told you I can't find the proof of it, but when I first came aware of it was right before Christmas, was when this thing went online for the tracking. Right? So this thing was in the government long before, and what was the problem with the vaccine, mandatory vaccines, was we found out someone with a vaccine, that gets a vaccine, becomes susceptible to what? Severe respiratory syndrome. It reduces your ability to fight the virus. Now this becomes a bigger impression to me, the self-inflicted wound. For what purpose, I really don't know. As I said, maybe there's some lack of knowledge that was enticed and induced into being using this thing. But we're starting to focus on the government knew more and better. And in a way, I told you, I wondered why they were flatfoot. It could be they weren't flatfoot, but it also could be they were caught by surprise as well. I find this very fascinating. They were imposing strict vaccination programs and tracking, which is the most important part here. How they could go out and know 5 million people are fleeing out of Wuhan and know where they are, which is the other thing. This is medical martial law. This is not martial law constrained to a certain territory. And your phones are part of it. I keep telling you about this because that's the other thing. The phones are part of how they track you. Your social credit is how they're going to keep tabs of this. It is coming to a system state near you. If it's not already here, you're already doing it actually in your phones. All your phones are trackable. We got all the proof of all this. Your medical martial law imposition and tracking is almost already in place. What's the problem? Some of the problem with this is we get more proof coming out that the effect of the vaccines is detrimental. Your future resistance is dropped. Your future susceptibility to other things like SARS responses is increased. Exclusive, doctors in China say coronavirus can lead to heart damage. It's possible, and increased infection rate. It's possible. I just got this breaking into the broadcast. It's possible to get infected with a novel coronavirus the second time, according to doctors on the front line of China's city of Wuhan, leading to the death from heart failure. Well, that's the one coronavirus. What triggers this could be any coronavirus, it seems to me. Well, just what they're putting in the flus, right? Because that's what flu is. It's a virus. They don't talk about the other one. It doesn't matter. They're not talking about any of this stuff. What's the needle here? In the haystack of notice, what is the real notice here? Again, the vaccines are harmful. They're not safe. They can't be made safe. They cause other problems. More importantly, now they're finding out that you can be affected by this COVID, the new renamed one now, and that's an important thing to keep track of. Those that name a thing control a thing. In this case, this may be an indication they didn't control a thing. Otherwise, it would be renamed and it would be subject to the pandemic. This one's not novel now. They know it's new, but it wasn't patented. Who steps back? It's not part of the rule. Why? Because it doesn't fit that phase, does it? They can't put it in as a novel vaccine that was created. And so we've seen all of a sudden, you have also noticed, the WHO steps back on top of that, which is another interesting thing. So you can get this coronavirus now comes twice. What caused that? That's like new in the world. So it might be novel, but it's not something that they made a vaccine for yet, and they're telling us that. What got me, though, is all these things, these facts are sitting on, and so we hear again the noise, the clutter starts coming up to try and prove that the government's is underreporting or not telling us how bad it is, and part of that has to be viewed. But what I don't like about this one is that it's gaining a lot of traction, but it's an example of how people take information, blow it out of proportion, and you stop looking at certain other things because you've now made your case. And this was about all these people that are being infected, reinfected, and responding and dying from it are having to be disposed of. And people were saying, well, because they're underreporting, and so that's a focus on us. Look how criminal the government is. Well, all governments seem to be criminal anymore, so I don't even know what this whole point is at one level. However, it went through, the theory was, well, China's closed. We don't have any information. We're going to use a surrogate of information on whether or not China's actually got a bigger problem. Let me offer two or three broadcasts back, I went ahead and used the 90,000 people affected number. They haven't reached that yet. They're still almost halfway. They're just past halfway now, just a little bit past. 90,000 people affected. I used that number. We're not even there yet. And I told you, at worst case, that number, it wasn't even worst case. That everyone's focused on what China's doing about the case, how bad it is missing really the bigger picture, in my view. That this is not a bad case. This is a flu season situation. What they're missing is all these other stories that say the government is creating systems to track you, trace you, to impose upon you things that are detrimental to you. Things that in the United States, the agencies are not looking at, that are being causative against you because you're not there to make that statement. You're not there to bring up all this evidence I show you is there for us to do it. I wonder if we're not being told this stuff and people are finding it for that purpose. I don't know that. That's another level of providence, I guess I would say. But here's people go down this track. Oh, we have a bigger problem than normal. Well, I'm not too impressed. I don't like that people are dying. There's a real problem back in China, but this is like Fukuzilla. It's a problem in Japan, but maybe not anywhere else. Anywhere else has their own transparent problems to people, as I've proved over and over and over. It's not Fukuzilla. You got something dispensing radiation in your regular in your town right near you, or pollution, or whatever untold toxicity toxin that there is. High SO2. Sulfur dioxide, SO2, high SO2 levels reported around Wuhan and Chongqing, The world suspects Chinese officials are burning coronavirus corpses. Well, folks, if you go read, they went from burial to cremation here just shortly before. I mean, years before. They just have too many bodies. There's just a lot of people there. So that's not even news. But they're trying to find out that China's doing something wrong. I think they've already been doing something wrong, but it doesn't matter. They haven't risen up to be a real world thing. It's not even a pandemic still. And even if they named it, I said, go look and see what the first world tier nations are doing and stop how good they can stop it. That's really what you want to be worried about. Mass cremations, though, is now being used as a surrogate indicator that they have a bigger problem. They have a big problem, folks, but it's not to be overblown. Mass cremations have been seen in Wuhan and Chongqing following the high sulfur dioxide levels in the quarantined area. Alarming levels of CO2 around Wuhan have been detected by satellite maps in recent days with an epicenter of the outbreak. Well, and then they also mentioned the city under quarantine, Chongqing, with high levels of sulfur dioxide. Well, okay, so sulfur dioxide. What are we going to be looking at? Because it's cremation? Well, let's go look at the emissions of sulfur dioxide. Let's find and qualify whether or not this claim is valid or can be valid. Went to a website, the most consistent statement I could find that I couldn't get in the EPA website. Their documents were locked down a little bit. But I just want to read. Emissions of SO2 from natural gas-fired boilers are low because pipeline quality. Natural gas typical has sulfur levels of 2,000 grains per million cubic feet. I found that because I was wondering, well, these crematories, how are they powered? They're powered, the ones I found being manufactured are powered by natural gas. So I went to the source of the fuel, and they said natural gas-fired boilers have very low SO2. And they give us what typically in a million cubic feet you're going to have 0.286 pounds of sulfur. 0.286 pounds of sulfur in a million cubic feet. So the crematory, that just fell apart to my mind right off the bat. But what is the more, okay, so do you burn coal to burn bodies? Well, I don't think so. When you look at they burn a body in an hour to an hour and a half, there isn't, I think, pretty current technology. Well, let me look at the sulfur dioxide a little bit more, and you find out, I went right to a gas technology website, and you look at the emission from SO2, from a million cubic feet of gas is 0.0006 from natural gas. And this is as compared to nitrous oxide, NOx emissions from coal boilers. Now, this isn't coal boilers, but what are coal boilers? The coal boilers would be really where? Those have not shut down. I haven't said what. You should be able to come up with some of the answer. But I got another upside. What is sulfur dioxide? Sulfur dioxide is a gas. It's invisible and has a nasty, sharp smell. It reacts easily with other substances to form harmful compounds such as sulfuric acid, sulfurous acid, and sulfate particles. The particles, they have to filter out, at least in countries that you want your production that have environmental regulation to do so, right? Not in China. This is the other problem. Self-inflicted wound. We have a bunch of slaves producing our cheap stuff and sending it back, and they live with the pollution as well. This is the other underwriting SARS problem, isn't it, with the people there that they complain. About 99% of the sulfur dioxide in the air comes from human sources. Oh, it must be the crematories. Let's read. The main source of sulfur dioxide in the air is the industry activity that processes materials that contain sulfur, e.g. the generation of electricity for coal, oil, or gas that contain sulfur. Some mineral ores also contain sulfur, and sulfur dioxide is released when they are processed. In addition, industrial activities that burn fossil fuels, dem bones, folks, containing sulfur can be important sources of sulfur dioxide. Sulfur dioxide is also present in motor vehicle emissions as a result of fuel combustion. I'll end right there because it doesn't really talk more about it. Did you hear crematories as being any kind of a place of support? They say, well, the human body can create it. Well, look at how much sulfur do you have in your body, folks. How much sulfur is coming from the fuel? Minuscule, if anything. from a crematory. Why would people focus on this? Look at their windy.com map, which I went to and looked at. I don't know. Why would they say that? Because all of a sudden there's this SO2 there. What other things do it? They said the coal burning does that. In fact, I went down and found from a nature.com article, they're totally against the fossil fuel burning. They wanted to talk about how life exists better without them, because they all want to do this green stuff that really won't cover it. But at any rate, I found extended data figure number 4, SO2 and NO2 decreased radially around plants. Okay. Although SO2 is not a main byproduct of natural gas combustion, some plants have a combination of gas and coal-fired units, and others may use different types of fuel. Where am I going with this? I'm continually going down trying to figure out how to not allow people that are sending bad information out, where I can go real quick to prove it out, that I have to go do it to at least eliminate the possibility, but that 9 times out of 10, what you find out there is going to give you the wrong information. Why? Because it's important to have the right information. Because you're going to be under administrative hold that's actually medical martial law in this case, or under national security, as we have experienced since you've been determined enemy combatants. So we have confirmation that SO2 would not be a byproduct, much of a byproduct from natural gas, cannot be the source of LSSO2. But do you think do you think it's been shut down? Do you think because the industry is going down, which is another surrogate indicator, there's going to be like some, all of a sudden somebody turns off the switch about all this production? China has hit ground to a halt. China has ground to a halt on the ground. Indicators confirm worst case scenarios. Zero Hedge, a couple articles. Fascinating to see what happens if the coronavirus hits and the government locks everything down under the theory of medical martial law, and this may look like it's a self-inflicted wound. I can't prove that for sure because I don't know if they were handed something they didn't understand and then it did get out. And this is the devastation. And I think Grimner on Freakers was talking about this, about all the fact that in the future now, and this is, I've been looking kind of close at this as well, your future supplies coming from China are going to be diminished, to invoke in me a response to promote the Freakers broadcast on Twitter, was that we're going to have the slow, empty boat from China. This is shutting down all of our production. Is this an indirect way for the United States to now, or Trump to get production? I've seen some statements about that. I thought about it myself, to get production back in the country as our own security. I think that there's a plausible reason to say that, but it's more important. Principally, we have to. The China is disintegrating. Steel demand, property sales, traffic, all approaching zero. I bring these up to say there were surrogates made for whether or not what the coronavirus is doing relative to the effect, the importance of the underreporting. Well, the government just came in and shut everything down that it could. But, you know, I started thinking about that. Is it actually that there's nothing going on? And it occurred to me, well, it can't be that nothing's going on, correct? I mean, the people, you still see what? You see pictures of cars, some cars running. You see some pictures of perpetual smog, it seems. You see pictures of lights, and even in everywhere you look, there's a light inside a building. You think all the people, the millions and millions and millions of people that are out there, you think they're doing all this without electricity? In fact, I found an article, and I know this is about 600 miles away, I think, from Wuhan. First snow in 2020 turns Beijing white, reported at the 1st of January. It's winter, folks. Flu season and winter. Do you think all those people don't have power coming to their houses? Do you think it's actually shut down completely, that they shut down all their power plants? And so I wondered, okay, where did they get their electricity? From water power? Do they get it from wind turbines? Is China so green already they're not going to be running much coal at all, because that's the main source of sulfur dioxide that everyone's pointing out. You can go see this. I think it's windy.com. It's a neat app, a neat program. You get on the internet, you can see all kinds of weather patterns, all kinds of pollution, all kinds of things. But our electricity sector in China, 53% is coal. There are two major power plants that have what is it, 6 coal-fired power plants in one system in Xiangfan and Huangluo power stations in Hubei province in China where Wuhan is? Do you think they've all shut down? Do you think the ones around the country have shut down? List of power stations I found. There's gobs of power stations, all running coal, which is a known sulfur producer. And so I went to thewindy.com. I looked. Sure enough, there's SO2 elevations. Sure enough, two of the greater parts of the instances are in those two cities. But then I looked back. I took a step back. I said, well, but then all this is coming from the north as well. It's concentrated a bit in these two cities. But it's not solely at those levels only. The whole country has got this. You see swaths of sulfur dioxide coming down from the north to the south. In this case, that's where the wind pattern was coming from, the north. Right, almost north, just barely north and northeast of Wuhan, about 600 miles away is Beijing, where the snow fell. They're actually almost two different climate systems, it seems. So I looked around, and what's in comparison? Yes, those two cities are a little bit higher, but they're not that great. The whole country has sulfur dioxide. The whole country has power plants, which is a known source of sulfur dioxide, not the crematories. In fact, I went over around the world and I found a place, Kanukistan up there in Alberta. Be careful. I don't know what's going on up there. Fort McMurray. Remember where all those fires were? Yeah, you had more sulfur dioxide coming out of the north above Wood Buffalo, I think it is, up there. You have that's where your tar sands is. You have more. You worried about the cremation going on in China? Well, something's going on up there in Canada, Kanukistan. You better watch out up in there. So do I make a story that Canada is cremating a whole bunch of people because they've got up there 90-something micropeakle whatever? Over twice as much as Wuhan. It was kind of fascinating to me that we, all this to say, we can go and get led by the nose by lots of people saying lots of things that focuses on the wrong thing. It doesn't matter really how China is handling the problem. In my estimation, the numbers haven't reached catastrophe even. It's bad, but it's not reaching the level that I'm going to say myself that this is the worst ever. That I'm going to listen to a lot of people spouting off about how that cremation is important. I've heard a video that had an audio of someone that works in the, given it's true, you know, taking on service value that it is, that works in there, really upset that they're being mistreated, long hours, but they're saying that they're on the edge of their capacity right now. And that was just one of their treatments. Still, with only a 59 or so thousand infected rate, 90,000 of which is 10 times less than a severe. And so the part putting all this together, and we could start going down and being led by the nose that everybody that wants to make sensationalism, or we can start saying that there's certain natural things in a modern society that goes on with certain technologies that's going to be a baseline that we have to create for ourselves before we can start analyzing what the information means. Now, I just said something there. I hope somebody's mind out there said, well, that baseline would no different be when I was talking earlier in the broadcast, would be where we set the foundation of the principal law that we live by, and don't let anybody subvert that. Is my problem with all this noise, the haystack of noise, where there's a needle, and we're going to get stuck by it if we keep focused on the wrong things. Do we set the foundation, baseline, modernized society, as terrible as it might be for those people? We set that bar first before we start attempting to analyze what's going on. Do we start to look then, once we got that level up high enough, we realize, well, a lot of this is just natural. Now what's on top of that? What's the real serious problem here? What's really going on? Shocking video shows people on the street being rounded up on Wuhan as Wuhan begins wartime measures. What did I tell you, folks? I told you this weeks ago. This is the next iteration of the drill Our problem is, when does it go live? Well, for China, it's going live. What's interesting, the United States is starting to prepare for the drill. But as China starts to round up in wartime measures, that wasn't hyperbole. The government declared the war against this. Remember, the medical military doctors were brought in. To me, that looked like two things. One is they knew they had a military attack going on. They caused a military attack on themselves, and or they wanted a buffer between the doctors and the civil side and the secret that was going on within what they were being affected by, that the military doctors could, which would be beholden to the government itself, the reports of which come from there, can buffer the information in this war scenario. I say medical martial law. I said this weeks ago. It's coming up now. We see the dynamic of how a government can set it up or have it set up against them that they will respond this way. And if you've been thinking different about when I tell you about the Libra Code, yeah, I think you need to start thinking again. This is administrative detention again. This is under a law that has no law. And in the United States, they threw the Libra Code out, the international law out. And to me, this is just a continuum of the governments of the world are practicing how they're going to take y'all out. Me too. I'm not out of this. And what are we going to do about that? Are we going to start standing up? Are we going to talk about the cremation, the SO2? Are we going to focus in on the fact that one of two things may have happened here? Is China created this thing by some theft from Canada, or Canada intentionally fed it through because the United States and Canada knew this was going on. They took a biological facility and were going to weaponize something. And so they went ahead and gave it to them. I don't know for a fact. I don't know if that's the case. When the military gets involved, when the government calls war, that, for the United States at least, raises the level. You forgot you live in a wartime forever since 1917. That's gone under the bridge, but you don't respond to all that. But this is our problem. We're seeing the evidence of it being played out right here. You want to understand what happens? This is what happens. Only this one is serious because this medical thing is, again, except to call out the fraud and the self-inflicted wound, I don't know how you escape it. They're shooting people back there. They're not rounding them up. They're shooting them. There's another link here. Whatever you have done and whoever you are, do you deserve being treated like this? And the picture is a whole line of people. What was interesting to me is none of them have face masks on. They're all tied by a strap, as you've seen in wartime, prisoners of war tied by a cable, one onto the next, like a long line. The only people that have masks on are the people that are leading dozens of these people up the road. Everybody in the city doesn't have a mask except for just the military, what looked to be officials of police. And those official police, I started to think, well, one guy didn't even look official. How would you know? There's another vulnerability. This thing comes on us, and all of a sudden people start taking advantage. Anyway, getting off of that little bit of that concern, we're seeing what happens in medical martial law. Your people are being treated just like prisoners of war. This is all just right in front of us to witness. Then that we come up this morning, again, as the broadcast is making, I sent it back out as a Twitter, the face of medical martial law, someone getting out somehow, I have to accept this as the truth. To me, I can't do anything for the woman. I can just see what happens. She's complaining about being locked down, how the government is doing it, just like the story in the United States, how they do it for money, how they're not allowing care, how they don't allow you to get care, to get the things to be care, even if you have money. And she's saying that, I think I'm going crazy. Well, this lady's not going crazy. This is what I said, is the face of medical martial law. Are you going to, and this is just on this, there's so many things that are bringing us to the point when they just lock you down. They treat you like war criminals. If you want to stare the future in the face, we're seeing it in China. China's coronavirus app will only inspire panic, experts say. But in this case, the app is created by the government to do what? Track the virus and track who's been near someone who they found was infected, even if it's suspected and there's no test for it. Why? Because they don't need a test. It's a war. They can do what? They can deal with you in executive expedience. In an epidemic or disaster situations, information is often the antidote to panic. What did I say earlier? We need to know what's going on. We need to know the truth. We need to parse through the haystack of noise and find the needle, if there is one. So it would follow that the current panic surrounding the coronavirus, knowing who's infected, might help. It seems that in this light, the Chinese government has launched an app. Your phones are so critical to this. Or that tracks who has been infected, and the coronavirus, something is it knows based on population surveillance, and will alert users if they come in close contact with the infected person. From a Chinese perspective, this is really useful service for people, provided it's done in a transparent way with consent where needed. Boy, wasn't that a mouthful of nonsense. Folks, do you think it's not happening in the United States of America? What have we been talking about, the FBI and the utilizing the big data and the service providers to get area-wide warrants that don't require warrants? It aren't a warrant, they're just a request that are handed over to the FBI or any police to find out whether or not you were close to a spot, someone that they're interested in. How many reports have I done on that recently? If you don't think this is already here in the United States, the Chinese government is tracing and tracking the coronavirus, and won't that new law, maybe this is consistent with that new law of tracking the vaccines help? They know where everybody is. They know where everybody is if you leave the country. Location of couple infected with coronavirus found using phone tracking system. Keep your phones, folks. The Australian authorities turned out a phone tracking system to determine the places visited by a couple infected by coronavirus in an attempt to prevent the virus from spreading and checking all people who might have come in contact with the two. The couple traveled from Wuhan to Adelaide to attend a house auction before being diagnosed with coronavirus and isolated in hospital. Diagnosed, what's that? I got fever. Clinical diagnosis. There's no test here, folks. Am I saying that you shouldn't be concerned when you are a vector? No, this is the problem. This is how they play it against you. This is why you have to be ahead of the game. Don't put yourself in a place where you have respect for people. You're feeling sick and cold during flu season? Maybe you should stay at home. Maybe you've got to cancel some things. Otherwise, you turn into your life becomes not your own. You get hauled off. You get hauled off on a thread to be put somewhere by who, by whatever the government says. For what purpose, we don't know. It's a way to come under the cover of the martial law to weed out all the undesirables. But they can track people all the way to Australia. Why? Their phone. It's telling you. You think that's not happening anywhere else in the free world? Oh, that was funny. Funny just as I'm saying it. And you think they're not gearing up already? In the United States, the executive order has initiated Department of Defense global campaign plan for pandemic influenza and infectious diseases. At first, that was astounding, alarming, but I found out that's all for the military globally. I didn't understand how could they go global. Well, they're going to do it globally where their bases are, as wrong as those are as well. But the point is, the United States government has already issued a Department of Defense order that they're preparing for whatever they're going to create as a drill. As a corollary, and I don't want to have a link to it, there was also a report about Border Patrol moving into sanctuary cities, if you think sanctuary is something. Border Patrol, the picture on this, though, I think was a bit deceptive. It happened to be a military, via big military truck with some veteran or some soldier in it with a big automatic gun. As if that's going to show up. And you read the story, this is still law enforcement, but it's Border Patrol moving into your cities. This is pre-positioning assets with particular types of expertise. They know how to shut it down a border. If they're there, they can shut down the border in your city. And the feds are the authority, and they rule the locals, and so then you're going to see how quickly this is all, the infrastructure is there to keep you all contained. Do I get alarmed? No, I just take notice. If you don't think this is working the dynamic, then maybe you don't care. I don't know. But it's there for us to see. Those of you that are in cities, be prepared. And I guess that's the other thing. this stuff goes in a month at least of you're going to be out of stuff for a month. If you were a prepper before and you didn't think about it, maybe reconsider it, highly reconsider that right now. You're just going to have to hunker down if it's not that an imposition to your psyche. You're going to have to probably hunker down for about a week. Otherwise, you're going to be thrown into whatever someone else decides, whatever their administrative detention will determine for you. And we see its executive expedience has no real rules. Okay, so today at the press conference, an official of the Ministry of Science and Technology called for better management of laboratories, especially viruses, to ensure biosafety. Was a glaring discussion right off of the secret Beijing website, stating, almost admitting they have a problem, correct? They have. Why would they even be talking about it unless they think they have a biosafety release from one of their that Wuhan place? And then the next day, within hours, smoking gun, Chinese scientists find killer coronavirus probably originated from a laboratory in Wuhan. Now, this was all suspected before. The problem with this story is very interesting, that some professor in South China University discusses the probability that this could have happened by showing, and I read this, but I couldn't find it again. If you see how things don't tie together, you don't find importance. How 280 meters away was the wet market where the meat so is and where they claim the bat was. There's two facilities right close. There's also now the admission here that maybe these places need to have a better management of their facilities, especially viruses, to start to suggest this thing did leak from there. But what's interesting more about this story is that, and you go look for it now, the cited document where the guy, the professor, surmises the probability by looking through all the evidence, that article was a preprint that was on ResearchGate that no longer exists. It disappeared from the internet. You go, okay, great. Well, you can find evidence that existed because there was a paper before that was written that is a preprint that was printed that uses that study as a reference. And so we start looking for the needle. It looks like this needle, again, I can't tell if there was an effect. They got beat by their own skullduggery or not, or just the stupid mistakes that happen around these labs that can happen, no different than all the radiation you measure. All these off-gassings to me are no different than this thing, and in your own, in a place near you. The smoking gun, Chinese scientists find killer coronavirus probably originated from a laboratory. The government saying they need better regulation of those facilities. I thought they were already at the highest, folks. And so we start seeing a failure. The government can do something by accident and kill you. And this all comes again at the same time. White House asked scientists to investigate whether the 2019 nCoV was bioengineered. Why? Well, because it's causing trouble in ways that a regular coronavirus doesn't. They found things made in this. There's evidence that it has special sequencing that can only happen. It's a chimera. It can only happen by man's intervention. Who done that is an interesting question in my mind, being that we had some interesting connections all happening between the United States, Canada, and this virus with Wuhan lab directly. U.S. accuses Harvard scientists of concealing Chinese funding. Now, this story came and went. I noticed it. I just let it go. And all of a sudden, this becomes, to my mind, a little more important. The government and the institutions of the government are all working in here as spies, if you will, to do whatever advantage they're going to do, or as a plan. It's evidence before us if we'll just pay attention to it. Prosecutors say Charles L. Lieber, the chair of Harvard's chemistry department, lied about contacts with the Chinese state-run initiative to seek and draw out foreign-educated talent. He was also part of the Wuhan issue. He was a very special guy, a very high-level guy over there, that we get a confirmation from Harvard about this. This is correlating with Canada and the people that were involved up in there. Happens to be the guy that the one of the people that this guy is dealing with happened to be the woman that he was dealing with happened to be a member of the army, the Chinese army. And so this is more connections to the government. There's more intelligence behind this than I think we're being told. I don't know who got scanned and played or who was just dumb luck that they had a problem go on. But this is what, again, what governments can do underneath. I'll just go ahead and give it to them. This is real. This is what governments can do to you. This is what they, this is where you can find yourself in the wrong place at the right time. Whether this is two countries fighting each other out, whether this is an economic hit on China, whether this is a plan also to get companies to come back and produce for the United States in the United States, which I think would need is necessary. And it's not started right now. Remember, the technology leaks that were going on that went through Clinton, for instance. But we have it in the minerals. The rare earth thing wouldn't be a thing had he not given our technology for rare earth mineral processing to China back then. Same thing with the military technology and the submarines and things like that. They wouldn't have the technology they have if it wasn't for politicians. And so we, again, these self-inflicted wounds, they escalate things. What does it end up doing, though? The end game is to confine you in your activities and to profit from you and to cause trouble. I don't know why, folks. That's just the way it works. I don't know that there's no logic behind it. And I said Lieber. Okay, I'm focusing back. Was that indicative? Did these names come up just to tease us? Charles Lieber? What about Francis Lieber of the Lieber Code? Militarily connected. Giving us the clues, if we will allow it, if that's where that goes. And so, there's a little more of a different story coming out right now. Do we want to listen to the cremation stories, or do we accelerated harm, or do we want to see how to identify these causes? How do we track in on where the initiators are? What policies are they using, and what are they doing with that? What is our response to this? Do we do nothing today in our silence and allow provisions to enter into law that we may not even be aware of, that set the stage for a future control, a future destruction, a future taking, and a more administrative detention torture that you end up thinking in the future is just normal, the new normal? All sound familiar? A SARS-like cluster of circulating bat coronavirus shows potential for human emergence was another story, again, bringing on this idea that they were looking again at how to weaponize this thing. Again, the government has to be doing this. What have I said, United States? They get to do it and you can't sue them. I think some people are doing some research on the problem that they did back in the 50s. You'll find that some people tried to sue the government. The government's immune. That was Title 50 speaking to me. I don't know about you. All right, so this is all ahead of us, and this is what we're walking into, and what are you going to do? Are you going to avoid it? And this is where I find interest in the next report. I think it came through Real Liberty Media's Twitter account, Preventing a Pandemic Without the State. And so what do they say? You can read it yourself. They go through the Ebola. They go through how Firestone in Liberia handled it privately because they didn't have any government support. I thought it was a good model for us. Firestone handled it by what? Isolation. Identification, isolation, and then preventative care. Intense and immediate. And though the woman that they had, worker, that had the Ebola, died, their family was able to be protected, and more importantly, the population got protected. It wasn't because of the state. It was because people took the initiative, just like y'all did to donate to keep the servers on for Real Liberty Media and getting this voice out, and other broadcast hosts, and any of you that want to come in and be one. Somebody private took it on themselves to do the very basic things I've been telling you to do. Hygiene, isolation, be thinking about it, look ahead, anticipate, jump in immediately, don't wait. Because we've seen this last, this is a, boy, a great window on how government, how the psychopaths in government, the caucusocracy, they you're an animal to them and they're going to treat you just like that and they'll make every excuse to plausibly validate the ability and need to do so. And for people like China, notwithstanding the woman that I just got a link on, I think I'll put that in too, stating that this is a, I'm going to speak while I can, even though it's very dangerous to me, and everybody's worried about her now for speaking out against the government and their private, if you will, private interests on what they do to you. She spoke out anyway. She has, down to the point where that may not be possible for her, is what we're not noticing is happening incrementally in what we might think is a freer place. And yet all the infrastructure they talk about is in on us, and it's tracking us, traces. We buy into it, we allow it, we get build up without denouncing as well, denouncing certain pieces of information that lead you, really, even if you found out that they were having to cremate more people, you have to do that. I mean, that's just the reality. But the numbers still doesn't mean it's more than just a bad flu season. Not even that close. All the other harms of which that allow now give that government the tools to continue in other ways are not stopped, are not checked by anybody, is I guess, again, my whole focus is that we're not responding to preserve our way of life, that republic where property rights and our happiness and our real safety is adhered to. No, we allow some third, fourth party implementation of laws we have no clue about, implemented in an administrative fashion, that this deference of which is given to those we don't even know, and we're forced to comply. The very thing I tell you behind the woodshed, you have to flip that around, and you don't let that happen to you. It's easier to not let it happen to you before they get their clutches on you, obviously. Now, we're seeing the ultimate condition and control in China. If this is not a wake-up call, not because of coronavirus, but because of what it shows us. And not even because of that, but because of where we're failing to stop the ability for someone to do that. We've missed many steps in the path that we need to catch up on that we're not meeting. Now, instead of arguing with me or finding frustration in what I'm saying or how I'm saying it, you can come out and do that. You can do it better. Do it. I don't have a monopoly on any of this stuff. We each one of us has something to do. We each one will suffer the fate we allow, and then there's the one that's going to come against you anyway. Just because there's that criminal element out there that thinks that they're more chosen than you are, that their laws are better than your laws. And yes, the crickets may have no chirp in the future. How's that? For someone who criticized me, I agree with that part. So, hope you got some value out of today. Hope it shows you we got some long-distance things to be looking at and driving and working for to protect against and not allow upon us. Grimner, thank you for what all you do. Thank you again to the donators to allow Grimner to do that. I'm sure he's pleased and happy to be able to continue another year. Let's see if we can anticipate this ahead of time for next year. Those of you that are syndicating the broadcast, thank you. For everybody that thumbs up, thank you. For your down thumbs, give me some conversation. Make it coherent so I can understand it, because I'm not there to talk about it. Those of you that have suggestions, Mark of the Beast on protonmail.com, and I'll be with you next week, Tech Diffs or Nature Willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Can of whoop-ass feels like. Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.